go back with me this morning to one of the most tragic nights in human history. One of the nights of greatest destruction that this world has ever known. We read about it here in Exodus chapter 11, and as we go onward to Exodus chapter 12, God is bringing judgment upon the people of Egypt. It's a judgment that is a result of their holding God's people in slavery, God's people in captivity. It's a result of their leader rebelling against God and rejecting Him. And when God says, "Let my people go," He said, "No." And God has been bringing judgment upon judgment upon judgment, upon plague upon plague upon plague upon the people of Egypt. But now is the ultimate end, the last plague, the last judgment. And oh, what a tragic judgment this is. Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, "Pharaoh, the last judgment's coming. The other nine didn't do it. The other nine only hardened your heart, but this one is going to be the final one because your heart is going to be destroyed." "Pharaoh," Moses says, "God is going to go through your land this night. And He is going to destroy, He is going to kill, He is going to pass judgment upon every single firstborn in the entire land of Egypt. The firstborn not only of humans, but the firstborn of animals." Now imagine with me if you're in the land of Egypt that night, and Scripture says that a great cry went up through the entire land. Yeah, I'm sure it did. As every single household in Egypt that night woke up to a dead firstborn child. Can you imagine here, in one house, they find death. And they hear a great cry coming up all around them and they say, "Did someone die there too? It was your firstborn too, huh?" And then someone comes from another town and said, "There's just death in this city over here. Is it like it in your city too?" And now people, messengers must come to Pharaoh from all over this entire great country of Egypt saying, "Pharaoh, we're all dead. There's firstborn after firstborn dead. There's not one house in my land of the Egyptians that escaped. Pharaoh, do you see what's happened?" But friend, not every house in Egypt faced this destruction. Not every house awakened that evening to a firstborn child that was dead. That was the result of a great and severe divine judgment upon a nation. No. Because there was a land, there was a place in Egypt called Goshen. And in that land of Goshen, there wasn't one household who woke up to a dead firstborn child. Can you imagine the Egyptians? They've come across all cities, all households in all of Egypt with a dead child. And now they go to Goshen, they go to the Israelites. "Hey, you had this too, right? Your firstborn child died too, right?" "No. No, there's not one dead in our house. What about your house? Did someone die?" "No. No, someone didn't die there either." Wait a second. Surely in this part of the children of Israel, you had some dead, right?" "No. No, there's not one dead." You know what happened here? It's exactly what Moses told Pharaoh God would do. He said, "This judgment upon your land, every single firstborn child of an Egyptian will die. Every single firstborn child of an Israelite will live." God's people, the people who reject God. Moses said to Pharaoh, "This is going to happen so that you may know that God is putting a difference between His people and the Egyptians. A difference And what an amazing difference it is. A difference of judgment for one and of complete liberty and freedom and protection for the other. Friends, we're going to use this illustration today to discuss the difference that God places between His people and His enemies. Because, friend, there's only two kinds of people in the world. There are only two kinds of people. There are those who are God's people, and there are those who are not God's people. And in between those two, God has fixed a tremendous difference, not only in the outcome that each will face, not only the judgment that will go upon one and the divine protection that will go upon the other, but indeed in the very nature of God's people versus those who are not God's people. And my question for each of us today is simple. If God has made a great division, He has made a great difference between His people and between the world's people, are you experiencing that difference today? The title of the message this morning is God, the Difference Maker. God, the Difference Maker. And we're going to look at three examples, three points of this difference that God makes between His people and the world's people. Let's start, first of all, by talking about the effect of this difference. The effect of this great difference, this great distinction, this great severing and division that God does of His people and the world's people. Look at what happened here. Look at the effect of this difference that happened upon the Egyptians and upon the Israelites. One woke up to great judgment, great death, great sadness, great sorrow in the land. One woke up to complete protection and complete deliverance. First of all, this effect starts with a sentence. A sentence. It's a sentence that was passed upon the land of Egypt, and it's an illustration of the sentence that has been passed upon every single person sitting here in this room this morning. It's a sentence of death. We talk today, we see some states have something called the death penalty. Someone acts in a very cruel and callous way in murder, and the state imposes the death penalty. Well, you see, God has such a thing as a death penalty. And it's a death penalty that is deserved, that is merited by every single person sitting here in this room. It's the death penalty that God laid on the Egyptians. He said, "You have rejected me, you have rebelled against me, I have commanded you to let my people go, and you have said no. And so I'm bringing a death penalty, the death upon your firstborn children." But you know, we have a death penalty that is also brought upon by sin. Every single one of us, the Bible says that death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have all violated God's commands. We have all rebelled against His law. God has given us a law for us to follow in the Word of God. And every single one of us, in distinct ways, every single day, looks up to God and says, "I'm not going to follow your law. I'm not going to submit to it. I'm going to do what I want." The Bible says, "Do not steal." We say, "Well, but maybe if I really, really want that or need that, I can steal." And so we steal. We are a lawbreaker. God says, "Do not commit fault. Do not bear false witness. Do not lie. Let honesty come out of your mouth. Not lies, not fabrications." And then out of our mouth, suddenly we're about to get in trouble if we don't tell a lie. We think, "Oh, this is just a small lie." And so out comes sin out of our mouth. We have violated God's law. God says, "Don't have any other gods before me, because I am God. I am the one who is deserving of your worship. Don't put something above me in your pecking order." And we say, "Okay, well, but I really love this other thing. I'm going to give this priority. I'm going to give this preference. We've just broken God's law. God says don't commit adultery. He says his plan is that one man will be with one woman for the rest of their life. We say, well, that's not very exciting. That's not very fun. Let me try to go outside marriage and around marriage and do all these things that God says. No, we violate God's law. And we are lawbreakers. And because of that sin, death has passed upon all men. Death has passed upon every single one of us. And Scripture says that death is reigning over us. And this is not just the physical death that every one of us will face unless Jesus Christ returns first. It is a spiritual death, which is far worse. Jesus says, don't fear him that can just kill your body and give you physical death. No. Fear him that can send both soul and body into hell. Fear the one who passes spiritual death, a judgment of spiritual death and separation from God and eternal punishment in the lake of fire, what the Bible calls hell. Now, friends, this is a sentence that is passed upon all men. They're all there. But the wonderful thing of the effect of the difference that God makes between his people and the world's people is, secondly, that there's a sacrifice. There's the sacrifice that God made for his people of Israel. This people, God told them, he said, here's what you're going to do. That death angel is going to be going throughout the land of Egypt tonight, bringing death to every house. But they said, but God told the Israelites, take a lamb, a spotless lamb in the first year, in its first year, and sacrifice it. Take its blood and put it on the doorposts of your house. And God says, when I see that blood, when that death angel comes to execute judgment, when I see that blood covering your door, I will pass right over your house and I'll go to the next one. What a wonderful picture this is of the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God. Kids, what was the memory verse we memorized today? John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This was the lamb that was sacrificed for your sin, for my sin, so that the death sentence that would pass upon all men is now exempted from God's people because God sees the blood of his son. Scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no payment for, there is no forgiveness of sin. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, when he hung on that cross and his blood was shed, that blood was being shed as a sacrifice for your sin. That blood was being shed because you today are sinning and need to have that sin forgiven. Scripture says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by his blood that was shed. Friend, do you know that sacrifice of God that has been made for you? What a wonderful thing. First of all, then we see here the sentence that is passed upon all men, the sacrifice that was made. And third, we see a separation. We see the separation from those that had the blood applied to their doorposts and those that did not. The separation between the Israelites who had this great sacrificial provision and then the Egyptians who did not have the blood on their doors. It was the difference between life and the difference between death. It was the difference between deliverance and the difference between judgment. And that was what God had provided. Every person, Egyptian, who awoke and found a dead child, with every Israelite who awoke and was safe and sound and delivered. My friend, that is the difference. When we, through faith, if you will, apply the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorpost of our heart, when Jesus Christ saves us because we come to him by faith, we see that separation. Now, friends, today, You may not see all aspects of that separation, but friends, one day that separation is going to be very clear. Every single person who has trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, every single person who has repented of their sins and believed the gospel, will one day be separated from those who have not. Jesus depicted it as sheep and goats, and a shepherd coming and saying, "Goats, you go over here, and sheep, you go over here. Goats, you have not, you who have rejected God's plan in Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. You who have trusted in Jesus Christ for eternal life, you will be separated and you will go into heaven." And my friends, there is a very great gulf fixed between those two locations. And that difference is going to be eternal. There's no passing from one to the other. There's no passing from the lake of fire to God's kingdom in heaven. The difference is fixed, and it will be.
That difference, are you on? Are you the Egyptian or are you the Israelite? Are you difference of life or are you on the different side of death? Which of you is going to be only on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ and in His sacrifice that we have that value? So first of all, let's talk about the effect of this eternal salvation. The effect of this salvation, of this difference, is an eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. What a great difference there that day, and what a great difference we will see for eternity for those who have trusted Jesus Christ and for those who have not.
Second, let's see here the extent of this difference. We've seen its effect. The effect is that it gives some salvation and some judgment. But let's understand the extent. You know, because some people kind of have the idea that this is all that Christianity is about. Oh, sweet. You mean I get to go to heaven instead of going to hell? Hey, sign me up. It's like going through a drive-thru window. Yeah, I'd like to place an order, please. I'd like to place an order of heaven with a side of maybe a little bit of happiness here on earth. And let's call it a day, okay? Can I pay now and check out? But you know, we're totally missing the extent of the difference that God places between His people and the world's people. Friend, your salvation was not just an aspect of heavenly bookkeeping. It wasn't just God tidying up His accounts and saying, "Okay, cool, I get to put this person now over here. He's my child, he's going to heaven, and there's nothing else." That's not true. God said to Pharaoh, I have placed a difference between you and the Egyptians. And it's the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. A child a servant of God, and those who are still serving the world and everything that is in it. What is the extent of this difference that God has placed before each of us? First of all, let's understand the provision. It comes in a provision. It's the provision to be the very child of God. You think about what an amazing thing that would be. I was very, very blessed to have the father that I did, a truly great man of God who gave his life in service of God and His principles. It's a great honor to me to say, I'm the son of Roger Magnuson. But do you know how incomparably more blessed and honoring it is to say, I am the son of God. I am a child of God through no merit of my own, but only through His power. You see, John chapter 1 says that as many as received Jesus Christ, as many who have accepted Him by faith into their lives, as many, every single one of them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Friend, the difference between you as a child of God and a child of the world is not just where you get to go when you die. It's the fact that it's as big a difference as the child of God from a child of the devil. That's a pretty big difference, isn't it? And it's only on the basis of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the difference that He has. What a remarkable provision. A child of God. incredible. But secondly, let's understand the presence. You see, there's a great difference here between God's people and the world's people, not just in the provision to be the child of God, but also in the very presence of God. You know what God tells us? God says, Jesus said, when he was about to leave this earth, he said, I am leaving now. He said, but it's good for you that I go. You say, well, how could that be? How could Jesus, the Son of God, leave here and it would be a good thing that he would go? It's because Jesus says, I'm going to send a comforter. He said, I am going to send the Spirit of God. You know, we talked about that Spirit of God this morning. We talked about that Holy Spirit in our class. We talked about who he is and what he does. We understood that he gives us this this great presence of God. He comes actually inside us to indwell us. Jesus said, not only will he be with you, he will be in you. That's the provision that God gives to his children. He doesn't just give them this title of a child of God. He actually sends God to be inside them by the Holy Spirit. He gives it to them as the down payment of their future inheritance in heaven. Friend, God inside you. What a difference! What a difference between a child of God who has the Spirit of God dwelling in him and between a child of the world who knows nothing of the Spirit of God. You know what Scripture says? It said, if any man does not have the Spirit of God, he's none of God's. He's not God's. That means if you hold up your hand this morning and says, I'm a child of God. Yep, I'm a child of God. I said a prayer one day. I'm a child of God because I've been in church my whole life. I'm a child of God. And the Holy Spirit is not indwelling you. You're a liar. You're not a child of God. Because if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not his. Every single person who God saves, he seals with his Holy Spirit for eternity. You know what a wonderful thing it is today? That if you are a child of God, you are fundamentally different than the children, than the others that are walking around you in this world who do not know God. Now, isn't that amazing when we look at them and we say, but they're so much like me in so many ways. We say, that person has the same likes I do. That person's really funny. I laugh at what they say. Man, my friend at work is really a cool guy. Oh man, my friend at school is really a lot of fun. We get along great. Do you know what the truth of it is? You could find the person who is most unlike me in every single way this morning. You could find the person who is most dissimilar to me in every way, but who is a believer. And do you know I have more in common with that person than the worldly person who shares my interests and who is most like me in every other way? I'm more like the child of God in this room. Why? Because we're both children of God. Because we both have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us and dwelling in us. Do you know that's why it's an odd thing when Christians mock other Christians? When young people think, oh, you see that Christian over there? What a weirdo. What an odd duck that person is. Ha! That person is like you. That person has the Spirit of God dwelling in you just like you do. And that person is far more like you than the great chasm of difference that God has put between you and someone who does not have the Spirit of God. One who is not by nature the child of God, but is by nature the child of wickedness and darkness. Think of that great difference that God has placed between you. And then third, think of here, a power. There's a difference in power. You see, the Spirit of God does not just come into your life to confirm that you're a child of God. The Spirit of God does not just come in to transform you. The Spirit of God comes in to empower you to live the Christian life. Scripture says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're listening to the Spirit of God, you won't be following what your sinful desires want to do. You say, you know what? I'm struggling with some things today. I'm struggling with drinking today. I'm struggling with my lust today. I'm struggling with drugs today. I'm struggling with irritation today. I'm struggling with frustration today. I'm struggling with these things today. And do you know what God says? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill those lusts. Listen to Him and you won't follow after those things that have been tripping you up. Listen to His and tap into His power source and you can have victory. There's no reason as a child of God that you need to be falling into sin. There's no reason that you need to be living in habitual, continual sin by yielding to your flesh. Why? Because God has given you the power to have victory.
Amen.
Do you know, friends, a person who's out living in the world does not have that power?
No.
They don't have the Spirit of God. Oh, maybe there are some things that they can really work really hard and they can quit some aspect of something that's holding them back, but they don't have power to see sanctification in area after area after area of their life because they don't have the power of God. You're different. You do have the power of God, and it should change you. That's why Romans 12 says, "Be not conformed to this world." Don't be put into their mold. You're different. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, friends. And your difference between you and the world is not just about where you're going for eternity. It's fundamental. It's in your very nature. The Spirit of God has indwelled you. The seed of God has created new life. And He has made you a child of God. There is an inestimable difference between the child of God and the child of the world, the child of the devil. So first of all, we see here the effect of this difference is eternal salvation and eternal destruction. The extent of this difference is the difference between a child of God and a child of the world. Third, let's talk about the experience of this difference. The experience of this difference. Friends, if God has put a great gulf between you and the world, just like He's put a great difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites, and if not only that, He has given you the Spirit of God to transform you from the inside out, He has placed a great difference in your very nature as a person. Are you experiencing that difference? Does your life show that difference? You know, we have a very confused understanding in modern Christianity. We think, hey, if I can be just as much like the world as I can, oh, what a great opportunity I'll have to draw them to be like me. But how incongruous is it? When God not only has put a great difference between the outcome and judgment of the saved person and the unsaved person, He has put a great difference in our very nature. And we could stand up and say, well, it won't show itself in how I act. It won't show itself in how I talk. It won't show itself in how I dress. Of course it will. How could it not? God has placed a difference between you and the world. Your life should show it. Let's talk first of all here under this experience about a resistance. About a resistance. You see, friends, your flesh, that part of you that still has a bent towards sinning, that still wants to sin, it resists difference. It resists being separated from the world. It says, no, I kind of like doing what these otherworldly people do. I kind of like these same things that excite me and that I enjoy, that my flesh enjoys. And the Bible says that your flesh, the law of your members, is warring against, it's fighting against the work of the Spirit in your heart. Your flesh is desiring the same things that the world is desiring. It's desiring the same kind of lusts. It's desiring the same kind of pride, the same kind of entertainments, the same kind of manner of living. And the spirit that is in you is warring, it's fighting, it's resisting. And that's why Scripture says, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to those same fleshly desires that the world has. Do not yield yourself to them. Do not, because I have put a difference between you. Friend, if you are not understanding the bent of your flesh to chase the same thing the world chases, you're going to be deceived and you're going to go right down the same path. Until you learn what Jesus said, it means to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him and start saying no to what your flesh wants and start saying yes to what the Spirit wants, you're never going to show any difference between you and the world. It involves self-denial and recognizing that when your impulses are going a certain way, it's time for you to say, no, Spirit of God, that's not you. That's my desires. That's my flesh. That's my heart. No, that's not right. I'm following after God's Spirit. The resistance that each of us faces in our flesh is to say, God, there's no difference between me and the world. I can live how I want to live. I can do what I want to do. And it's absolutely inconsistent with the difference that God has placed in our lives. Secondly, let's understand the recognition. Do you know where this difference that is to be seen and to be experienced comes from? It comes from a recognition that God wants to transform every single area of your life. It comes from the understanding and the recognition that there's not one area of your behavior that God doesn't want to make a difference between His people and the world's people. You say, well, I don't know about that. Is that true? Of course it is. Can you imagine when you look at a worldly person, what are they motivated by? They're motivated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Look at how people go around dressing today. Dressing sensually, dressing in desire to stimulate the lusts of those that are around them, dressing in such a way to call attention to themselves and call attention to their bodies. Friends, how do you think a child of God dresses? How do you think they are to dress? Do you think there's going to be a difference between the person who's trying to dress in a way that stimulates the lust of the flesh, dressed in such a way as call attention to themselves, and a child of God who is saying, God, I want to dress appropriately so that your glory can be seen through me, and that I'm not calling attention to myself in a way that's inappropriate and wrong? You better believe there's going to be a difference between the way Christians dress and the way non-Christians dress, because fundamentally their natures are different. What about in the way we talk? Why do you think Paul tells the Ephesians, don't let there be any coarse jesting. Don't let there be any foolish jokes coming out of your mouth. Why? Because the world can laugh about crude jokes. The world can cuss and swear and say things that are crude and foul. But a Christian is different. A Christian has an entirely different nature. And that's why Paul says, act like it. Live like it. You're motivated by other things. The Spirit of God is indwelling you. God has placed a fundamental difference between you and the world. Let it be seen in how you talk. Let it be seen in what you watch. Let it be seen in what you listen to. Let it be seen in everything. Now you say, does that mean I just have to make a difference just for the sake of making a difference? Well, no. It's the difference, though, of a very nature. And friends, there's going to be a football game tonight. I think all over the country, I fear there may be hundreds or thousands of Christians that are sitting there laughing at the same crude commercials, allowing the same stimulating, lustful, sensual advertisements to come and just stare and watch them like everyone else. And they may be sitting next to someone who's unsaved, laughing at the same things, watching the same things, enjoying the same things, experiencing the same things. And it's time that they step back and say, am I any different? Not just in where we're going for eternity. No. But is there a difference in our natures? Is there a difference in what we love? Is there a difference in what we desire? And friend, if you don't see that in your life, you need to step back and ask yourself, is there a difference in where I'm going? Because God fundamentally makes a difference. He is a difference maker. He makes a difference between His people and the people of the world. And it starts with their very nature and the provision of the Spirit of God that is in them. Someday, friends, the difference is going to be very clear. It's going to be an eternal difference. And I pray that if there's anyone sitting in here today, I don't care that you said a prayer back then, because that's not what God's going to look at to judge. I don't care that you've been coming and sitting in these pews for your whole life. I don't care that you read the Bible once in a while. You know what? Because God is asking, are you born again? Are you a child of God? Do I know you? It's a good question for each of us to ask. Are we experiencing that difference? And finally, third and very briefly, let's talk about the reason to experience this difference. The reason. Look at what Moses said to Pharaoh. He said, I am putting this difference, he said, and I want you, Pharaoh, to know it. I want you to know this difference. And the truth, friends, is that God wants the difference in your life between you as a child of God and the child of the world to be blindingly obvious to everyone. Why? Because He is glorified. Why do you think it is that Jesus said to His disciples, you're the light of the world? Now live in such a way that everyone sees your good works and glorifies God. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't hide the difference between you and the world and cover it up because you're ashamed and embarrassed. No, hold it on a candlestick so everyone sees it. Everyone sees how different you are. Everyone sees how your nature is fundamentally different from those that are around you. How your destinations are at polar, eternal opposites. That's God's plan. That's His desire for you. Light is completely opposite from darkness, and God says, hold up the light. Hold it up the light and let it be seen so that others may see and come to me. Friends, God has placed an eternal difference between His children and the children of the world. I asked some of you this morning, you may not know that difference because you're still a child of the world. You're still the enemy of God. You're still on the Egyptian side of that difference. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. You've never repented of your sin. My friend, today is the day that God can bridge that difference to the other side by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That you can be a part of His family, a child of God who has the Spirit of God indwelling him. I pray this morning, my friend, that if that's you, you would be saved today. But friend, I'm also talking to some people who are professing Jesus Christ today. You say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yep, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not on my way to hell. I'm born again. The Spirit of God is indwelling me. That's right. I have a new nature. I'm the child of God this morning. You'd say amen to all those things. Is your life showing it? Is there a difference? If not, it's time to ask yourself, am I a child of God? Is the Holy Spirit truly indwelling me? And then repent and ask God to make that difference so clear in your life that everyone sees it around you and that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a difference maker. You intend to make a clear difference and distinction between your people and the world's people. And I pray, Lord, today that that would be seen in the life of every person who comes in and exits these doors at Straight Gate Church this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today would be the day of salvation. Now we remain with our head bowed, our eyes closed. If there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, you're on the side of difference with the Egyptians. That sentence of death is hanging over your head. May today be your day of salvation. We leave a moment. You can slip out from where you are and come kneel at these steps, and someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Won't you flee to Him this morning? Trust in Him for salvation. Is there anyone who would come this morning? And while we wait, Christian, are you experiencing the difference that God intends for your life? Is there anything different about you and the world in a way that is seen and known by those around you? May God give us light to see the differences that He wants to place in every single area of our life that come from a truly different nature and the power of the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Father, thank You. Thank You that You have given us the power to become the sons of God. I pray, Lord, today that we would leave this church in great difference, that we, by the nature of God that has been given to us, would truly see that difference in every area of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.